In a world where technology has brought order and awakened chaos, three men have embraced their destiny to slay the technological beast, or something like that. Join in the laughs, because it's time for the Digital Soup Podcast with Jason, Adam, and usually Dave.
Yes, man. Hey guys, and welcome to episode 24 of the Digital Soup Podcast. I am one of your three hosts. This is Adam, and with me, as always, is Jason and usually Dave. Usually Dave is always here. We've already talked about that before. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, doing great.
Excellent, excellent.
It's been a good day. Good day tech-wise, I got to say that. Definitely right. Good day tech-wise.
Oh, every day's a good day for tech.
Yeah. So what's making your day then? You sound like you got something you got up your sleeve there. So what do you have for us?
No cards, nothing like that. But hey, before we dive head first into this tech, why don't we go ahead and throw out a little riddle there, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Good idea. Ah. Stupid me.
Yeah. What's our format on this riddle?
Classic.
Explain to the peeps,
Dave,
what we do.
Well, what we do is we like to give out, we used to go in and give a riddle at the end of the show and then ask people to write in or send a voicemail clip or something like that. And it really wasn't happening. We had one awesome fan of the show who would send us in his answer all the time.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, no, not Dad. It was our friend Captain Poland there up in Canada. So, but we figured since no one else was really participating in it, why don't we just make it something contained within the show? And so what we'll do is we'll give you the riddle here right at the top of the show. And then at the end of the show, right before we sign off, we're going to get the guesses from the other guys. And you guys can see if you were right as well. So are we ready for riddle time?
Oh, let's do it.
Born right. Ready.
That's right. So what we've got this week is a little bit of a scenario. So there's a woman sitting in her hotel room when there's a knock at the door. She Ooh, very good.
Oh, wow. Jinx there, dude.
Double knocks.
Nice. She opened the door to see a man whom she had never seen before. And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I've made a mistake. I thought this was my room." He then went down the corridor and got in the elevator. The woman went back into her room and phoned security right away. What made the woman so suspicious of the man? So, It's, like I said, a bit of a scenario. I don't know if you want me to read it again. It's kind of long, but I can blast through that again if we want real quick.
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'll have to think about this one.
Right. And it's right there in the show notes. It'll be one of the first things.
Oh, so if I scroll down, there's the answer?
Yes.
Nope.
Oh.
I don't put the answer there.
All right, it's tech time. Tech time,
it's
everybody.
Tech time.
We have a bunch of stories today. I don't know where we want to start because, I mean, there's a ton of stories that we're covering.
Let's knock off the smaller ones first and then get into them.
Oh, okay. WWDC is. Because that's teeny. That's just like a little teeny little show there. Nothing important ever happens.
Yeah, that's true.
They're probably releasing a new iPad or something. You know, maybe a phone. I don't know.
Maxi-sized.
What? Well, speaking of Apple and all things Apple, hey, what's going on with Apple and Amazon? I mean, are they getting to bed together here?
I don't know. I saw on the news there that Alexa is invading Siri's iCloud calendar, and I guess from the little bit I read about it in this article here, which I don't have it pulled up, but I can't remember where it was from. Mac Rumors, maybe?
Yes.
Well, it said it was on the Mac Rumors website, but I guess this functionality may be live already. I'm not sure on that, but it basically what's going on is Alexa, you can go in into the skill set, and this was one of the most requested features from Alexa users is that they wanted Alexa to be able to access and control functionality of the iCloud calendar features on their phone and other iCloud devices. So looks like they've got this skill set lined up and ready to roll from what I remember on the article. And, you know, it's kind of weird because we're seeing, you know, this big race. We've been talking about it week after week between Amazon and Google and Apple, and each one of them trying to outrun the other one and add more features and do all this stuff. And now you've got the two working together. It's kind of a bizarre function, but very cool if you're an Alexa user that uses the iCloud calendar system as well.
Right. And I think a lot of people, like myself, I share a calendar with my wife, so it's really easy to add events and look at a glance of what's going on. Mm-hmm. This would be phenomenal to be able to have Alexa do that. That'd be great.
That's nice. Your wife lets you actually add stuff to it.
I mean, try and stop me.
Yeah, I share a calendar with my wife too, and it's usually kind of a situation where I say, "Hey, hon, what's going on this day?" And she'll tell me, "Oh, is it okay if I do this?" And then she'll add me to the calendar then if I've got something going on. So I let her be my schedule keeper. So
hey, speaking of Apple, unless you guys have more to add on this part.
Well, I had one thing I wanted to just piggyback on that real fast here, just because we're talking about Apple and Amazon, you know, kind of getting together with different things now and what just dropped. We're going to go into a WWDC talk a little bit later. We're going to cover in depth a lot more stuff, but I just want to...
And that stands for Worldwide Developers Conference.
Amazon, their streaming service now, Amazon Prime, is now on Apple TV. So there's another place where the two of them are getting together, and this was just announced today at WWDC.
Nice.
I'm just going to say Dubs DC. Can I just do that? Dubs DC.
We can go with Dubs DC. Speaking of Apple...
It.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of a retraction to make from our last show.
Oh, yeah.
Adam, a little bit Adam of a made correction. A boom boom.
Oh, no. False.
All right. Well, let me take this since it my fault.
Yes.
I did not even realize, until I went back and re-listened to the show, and then I talked to Dave and Adam about it and said, I made a big old boo-boo.
Questionable knowledge.
Very questionable knowledge. I mean, we all know that you charge your iPhones and your iPads with a lightning cable, but for some reason, I said that it was the Thunderbolt,
right,
which is not the case. So I retract that,
It sounded so close at the time. I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's that's right. Where I was.
Well, Thunderbolts and lightning, they go together.
Yeah,
you know?
Very, very frightening. I didn't mean to interrupt your apology. Go on. Continue with your apology.
Mamma mia, mamma mia, figure out. But anyways, I just wanted to say I'm sorry for the misinformation. We've corrected it now. It is indeed the lightning cable.
Yeah.
And you can stop the hate mail. I wish I got hate mail. Nobody sent me nothing. Nobody even heard it.
Hmm. Well, and that's where I was at. Like Adam said, too, it sounded close and in the midst of the show and we're going and you kept saying it so authoritatively that I didn't want to question and be like, is that the same as the lightning? Because I knew I'd sound stupid saying it. I just assumed you were right and knew what you were talking about. And I just kind of was rolling with it, too. And
Problem is he was so far from right, he was left.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you guys know that the new Ford Focuses, they all run on urine? All right, let's go on to the next
one. Oh, man.
I said it with authority, right? It has to be true. Just I got a mic in front of me.
Just because you saw your neighbor pissing in his gas tank doesn't mean...
Wait, that was Jason's gas tank.
Maybe it was Dave's neighbor.
Yeah, right.
Hopefully that's what he was doing to his gas tank.
Well, he heard about, cars always need regular lube jobs, so
maybe
talking about the tires, right?
All right,
axles and bearings and stuff.
This is inappropriate. Let's move on.
Inappropriate.
Well, I was gonna say, let's just jump into the next tech story here. We're not gonna spend a whole lot of time on this, but it's pretty exciting here for anybody that utilizes any laptops. Anybody use a laptop around here?
I use a laptop.
Around here. Everybody knows what AMD has their APU lineup, which they've had for a while here, which has the integrated GPU right in the CPU die, which...
The CPU and the graphics accelerator are on a single chip, people. Single chip.
And I own one right now. I have an AMD A10, which is a quad-core processor with just four threads. And it has, I'm not sure which Radeon video card it has, but it's decent. It's okay. Well, AMD has now just announced that at the end of this year, beginning of next year, they're going to have an update to their APU lineup, which is going to include Ryzen chipsets and Vega graphics. And Vega is their new lineup of video cards that they've announced. And what's really cool about this is it's going to be the first APU that has a total of 8 threads. It's a 4-core, 8-thread processor. So we're going to be doubling the processing threads. It's going to make everything run faster. The graphics card is a big improvement over it. And I'm pretty excited about it because the APU lineup is actually their lower cost alternative. It's not, you know, it's not AMD's high end. But, right. You know, now we're going to be getting Ryzen style chips in a lower cost, power efficient.
Is that
laptops.
Like Gangnam Style?
Hey, we want to cool. do another quiz show.
You know, a lot of people actually probably own an APU and don't know it because they are they're semi-custom third gen APUs in the Sony PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One also has that. So it's
and I believe the Wii U at the time did too, if I remember right.
What about
I don't
the Commodore
think...
64?
No, I think that was a little early.
Let me Google that.
So while you're Googling that, what is the other news I saw about AMD today? That they've got something launching on June 20th that is they're referring to as the EPYC, E-P-Y-C, CPU. It's more for servers, but it's tied in with the Ryzen launch. They're saying spec-wise, it probably won't be drastically different. I don't know. There's a lot of numbers in this article I'm looking at here. But I just saw something about it today.
And you failed to mention it to me so I could look into it a little bit.
When you said it,
I
knew
nothing about it.
Here, I'm pasting a link in our chat. I don't know. I just remembered seeing the headline today, sure. And so I went and found it.
So the EPYC EPYC processor from AMD is for servers. It's for the data center right. is what they're you know, really branding this for. So it's a 32-core system on a chip design.
Okay.
With support for 2 high-performance threads per core, and in a dual-socket server, support for up to 32 DIMMs of DDR4. So we're talking high-end server computing.
Did you say 32 cores, 64 threads?
2 high-performance threads per core, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to go change my underwear. Hold on a second.
The amount of memory that these things will be able to handle, 4 terabytes of total memory capacity. But if you're talking about a data,
that'll
center,
be cheap.
Yeah, no problem. Let me get out my wallet. Wow. But data centers, you know,
what's in your wallet? Nothing.
You know, clearly you would be using this server to as a virtual host or something like that. You're probably running 100 different servers on this thing at once. Or you
gotcha.
Know,
so now,
I'd just be using it for Facebook games.
It's like I need to be able to do word processing.
Right. Well, so that really isn't tied in at all with the other AMD news. I guess I just remembered seeing the headline and they mentioned the term Threadripper from last week in there. And so I didn't know if you guys had seen the article and what it was about. So
that's what they called Dave after he gorged on that burger at Gronk's, right? They call that the Thread Ripper.
I've
seen some people bend
pants.
Over and then have the Thread Ripper.
You're not talking about me, are you?
No, I'm just saying somebody bends over and is like, uh-oh.
John Stamos.
That was an impromptu.
Were you there? Yeah, you were there, Adam, when I ripped my pants at work back in...
yeah.
When was that? That was like probably like 92, 93?
Nah, I didn't start there till 95, so it was mid-90s. Jason comes back and I'm like, why are you wearing an apron on the front and an apron on the back?
Well, I was trying to do a yoga squat and I ripped the ripped out my pants. Well,
that was like gone from memory until you mentioned that, and then I remember the two aprons.
This won't be noticeable at all.
Is he wearing a kilt?
Yeah,
that's my black McKilt.
I had a friend in high school. He was when I was in 10th grade, he was a senior, so just a couple of years ahead of me, but he used to go He had a pair of jeans he had where he had intentionally cut out the crotch. Just follow me. Huh. He cut out a small hole
crotchless
in the
jeans.
Yeah, well, he cut out a crotch, but then what he did is when you said kilt, it made me think of it. He sewed in basically plaid, like from a kilt, and it was about the size of a hockey puck in the crotch of his pants there. And he would intentionally just wear them every so often and sit around and he'd wait for people to say, hey, you know, you got a hole in your pants there. And then he would just launch into a tirade about, why are you staring at my crotch? What are you doing?
Are you just serious?
It was just a big setup for
kind of an attention seeker.
Yeah. And then he'd get done and he'd just laugh and laugh. He's a pretty hilarious dude, or he was at the time. I haven't seen him in many years, but yeah, when you said kilt, it made me think, because, yeah, that's what it looked like, was the fabric plaid like that from a kilt.
Yeah, my eyes would be kilt if I looked at it.
Yeah. Well, and he'd get so angry, like he wasn't. Yeah, he was just playing jokes. He was really having fun with it, but he would just sell it so good that he was just furious. You were looking at his crotch, and what are you doing?
Quit looking at my crotch. Yeah.
Especially when there'd be there's a lot of times where it would be girls that would tell him,
"Looking at my crotch, you dirty boy."
No.
Oh, what the heck? Where are we?
That went dark. I'll tell you where we are is we were about to jump into, unless we had anything more on AMD.
Anything more on meat gazing, or can we move on?
Meat gazing, yeah, we're good there.
No, let's go ahead and talk about a story here. You know what? Apple has finally seen the light. See where I went with that?
Yeah.
They are now refreshing their complete computer lineup. Remember how many episodes ago it was we were talking about how it's been years for some of these lineups to get a refresh?
Yes, I do recall that.
Finally, today at the WWDC.
WWDC 2017
report with Jason Adam and usually Dave.
We need like those little...
You know,
we report, you decide.
Yeah.
Is it
the no spin
knowledge?
Zone? Wait, that somebody else uses that. Oh, wait, he got fired. We can use it now. The no spin zone.
Yeah. Anyways, so what is the big news here?
Well, the reason it's not spinning is that we're using solid state drives now.
No moving parts. Some big,
okay,
big
sorry.
News here.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Yep. We'll stop.
What do we got going on?
The first announcement they came up with was, I'm not sure if these are in order. The article I was reading about, this was the first announcement. So they're doing a complete refresh of their iMac line. They're going to be upgrading them all to the Kaby Lake processors, which is great, very efficient, and very powerful. They're also getting two Thunderbolt 3 controllers, not Lightning, Thunderbolt 3 controllers.
Just checking.
With brighter displays, they're updating the graphics.
So Apple actually is going to use Thunderbolt.
Yes.
Yep.
Huh.
Thunderbolt. They're dynamite. Much faster Radeon graphics. It's out of sight.
That was a little Hetfield thrown in at the end.
Sight, sure was.
Sight.
Yeah, I guess.
Brighter displays.
And here's another little thing we talked about a few episodes ago, and for the first time ever, iMacs will have USB-C ports.
Well, then you can stop your crying, huh?
How many ships will show up at the C ports?
How many what?
I said how many ships will show up at the C ports. It was a poor joke again.
It's a very poor joke.
Port now, joke.
Port joke.
Only seamen will get it.
Yeah. Where will this dock be?
What? Okay, let's just
get at Kaby Lake.
Okay. Just don't tell Jason.
It's just remember.
Oh wait,
though,
that was Crystal Lake. So
yeah, that's Crystal. It's bad to sail though when you're seeing thunderbolts and lightning. Just remember
again.
It's pretty frightening.
Who was it? Galileo?
Yeah, I think it was, or might have been Michelangelo. I'm not sure.
Mm, he liked the pizza, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, now...
Radical, dude!
We can't get through anything with us.
No, we can't. Now, the iMac line that they're doing that refresh on there, that's their standard line.
Right.
People have speculated for a while now what they were going to do with the Mac Pro lineup. They had, back in 2013, they released that trash can, that black cylinder that was... you could upgrade the RAM, and that was it. You couldn't add extra hard drives, couldn't do anything like that, so... How pro was that? Not very pro. People didn't like it. It didn't sell well. So everybody's been waiting for a brand new Mac Pro. And as of today, day one of the WWDC, they did not talk about a brand new Mac Pro at all. They did talk about an iMac Pro. A lot of people have been speculating on this. So what they're doing is they've made a super high-end iMac. It's 5K display. And it's going to come with three different processor options for you. They're all Intel Xeons, but you can choose from 8-core, 10-core, or 18-core. Hmm. And all of them are going to have, double it with the threads. They're going to have AMD Radeon Vega graphics with up to 16 gigs of RAM on that card.
Video
That's
editing.
Crazy.
Well, and for five, the first... if you're talking 5K, you need a lot of RAM.
Oh, yeah. Because yeah. It's a lot of pixels, Adam. Go ahead.
That is a significant amount of pixels.
Oh, denied.
That's a lot of pixels.
Yeah. This is going to be my thing when I'm old.
It is.
Oh, are you the guy on the internet that said that's a lot of stuff?
We're going to have to get some shirts. We're going to have to get some stickers, you know?
Yeah, that's a brilliant one. You'll be at the grocery store and you're like, wow, that's a lot of pickles. And then the people at checkout will be like, what? What did you say? You're that guy.
You know, you should do that begging. All the time.
I'm the guy that does that's a lot of on Digital Soup Podcast.
Jason,
I'll go on Fiverr.com.
Yeah.
For $5, I'll say that's a lot of, and then you say whatever. Whatever it is.
We're just going to change your name. It's not Adam anymore. It's that's a lot of.
That's a lot of?
Hey, that's a lot of. What's going on this week?
Is that Middle Eastern?
It kind of sounds that way.
All right, let's get back to the iMac Pro here. Boy,
this thing
we're just
looks
derailing
sweet.
Everywhere. Now, for the first time ever, 10 gigabyte Ethernet built in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is insane. We were talking about, how much it would cost for, what was it? The story we just talked about, how much RAM.
Right.
What was the max amount of RAM?
That was 4 terabytes.
Yeah, right. 4 terabytes of RAM. Okay, so this isn't as bad, but you go up to 128 gigabytes of memory. Now that
right. Well, this isn't meant to be a data center server.
No. Right. Yeah, this is for just getting some work done, like a little Word or something. Word. This is the bare minimum specs to run Word.
If you're gonna use clip art, you're gonna need the iMac Pro 5K.
It's funny he goes to Word as the program when he's talking about an iMac, and he didn't go to like Pages or something.
Nobody uses product. Pages. That's the reason why.
You know,
just
picture pages.
All right. So here's the one issue, though, with the iMac Pro. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
It's coming out this December.
That's a problem for me.
Yep. It's starting out. Now, this would be the 8-core version.
That's a bad month.
It is. It's horrible. Now, the 8-core one is starting out at $5,000.
Yeah.
That is the low end iMac Pro starts out at $5,000. What is that 18-core behemoth going to cost?
They haven't said yet.
No, not in any of the stores I saw. They just kept saying it starts out at. Now, over the next few days, we might find out a little bit more about it.
So, let me ask you this, though. In terms of pricing, it's a ton of money for you or I to go out and buy it because we're not working in a field where we need that specific product to get our jobs done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need the 5K iMac Pro to keep your counter critters happy. I don't need it. I don't need it to do what I'm doing. Although I suspect a lot of people in the photo video world will be drooling over this because this is the kind of workhorse machine that some of these people who do this stuff very seriously, producing movies and things like that, they're going to need that power. So they're on board. But who is the market for this? That's what I want to know. I mean, it's drool worthy for us as a regular average consumer, if you will. But what's the professional or what's the market out there that they're looking at and saying, hey, we've got the solution for you guys right now, and it's in this new 5K iMac Pro?
I would definitely say the creative industry, people in marketing, doing graphical marketing, just anybody,
3D like gaming, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like developing.
Developing, yeah. I was going to say, not playing it. You don't need this much to play, something like that. But, yeah, definitely, the creative types are going to need it.
You know what's interesting? If you look back in the 80s, the Tandy 3000.
I loved it.
$2,500 for their base model, $3,500 or $3,600 for their Tandy 3000 HD. I mean, 20 meg hard drive. Fantastic.
That's a lot of hard drive.
It's amazing. But the prices of computers, we've gotten really used to them going, getting really low.
Yeah.
For a standard business class machine, you're looking at around $1,000.
Right.
But for a high end one at $5,000, we're like, ugh. But keep in mind, back in the day, before when these were more rare, mm-hmm. It was we've regained that sticker shock when it comes to computing.
Yeah.
And this, but it still kind of makes sense that we have that sticker shock for a Mac because we're still looking at, oh, there's an Intel processor. Oh, there's an AMD
right?
You know, GPU, and here's some RAM, and here's a hard drive, and we know the price of these components in general.
I'll say this though, maybe I'm the only one, but nothing with Mac or Apple ever gives me sticker shock.
Very good point. True, true.
They traditionally don't have inexpensive products out there. I mean, whether they're worth the money or not is a whole different topic. But here's the thing to look at with a starting out at $5,000, and let's just say you're right, Jason, double that for that 18-core system, that fully loaded, souped up. Let's say that thing comes in at $10,000. Now, you look at who's going to get that, and that's going to be some sort of visual effects studio or, you know, high-end working photographer where they're going to do one or two jobs and they're going to make that money back and pay it off right away. That's just a business expense for them. So in relative terms, that sticker shock is maybe not quite as much to them. You know, it's looking at it saying, well, geez, for $8,000, we can get in on an awesome new machine that's going to increase our productivity and this and that and let us do what we need to do and be portable with it because we're not tied to the desktop Mac.
So what you're saying is Ethel and Herb are not going to get this to do email.
No, they're still using, what was the other, not Chromebook, but what was the one we talked about?
Windows 10S.
Well, yeah, Windows 10S is what they're going to be using.
On AOL.
Right.
You've got mail.
It's like a net zero or something. But
yeah, and someone like Casey Neistat over on YouTube or, you know, Kevin Smith, who's doing movie work, people like that that have the money, they're going to go look at something like this for their studio work.
Hey, just to jump off the subject for 1 second, did you see Casey's new video on the Boosted board?
No.
I think he just released it today or yesterday. Oh, he was comparing the Boosted board with one board that's like half the price, and you got to watch a video. It's pretty cool. You know, I've never got into Casey that much. You know, I've watched maybe two or three videos of it. You know, Dave, he, you know, devours everything this guy produces.
Nah, not everything, but I watch quite a bit.
Now, he's an interesting guy, and his room is weird. What is that? It's like, what are they, in New York City, I'm assuming. Yep. And that little room that he's in, he has like this big television turned sideways that is showing a camera
security,
from outside. Yeah, security and stuff. I mean, the whole room is pretty cool. I would like to like pause it and just look around at all the different stuff that's
in there. He's got a video where he does a studio walkthrough. That's his studio. It's actually not as small as you think. It's pretty big.
It looks small.
He's got stuff built in. Like he lifts up these panels on the floor, and I bet you the dude has more than $1 million in camera and video equipment in that place. Easy. I mean, and that's why he's got the security he does. But he's pretty awesome. I mean, I don't know a lot of times if I care so much about what his content is, but he's just so energetic and so inspiring. He just makes you want to make stuff. I don't know.
Now, is that GoPros he always uses when he's on the Boosted boards and stuff?
No, he's using a gigantic, I don't know what he's, for the longest time he was using a big Canon DSLR. Like the 8D or 80D, or I don't think he was using the 1DX, but a big SLR mounted on a Joby GorillaPod with a big microphone on top. It's a big setup, yeah.
It's cool. I mean, like I said, I haven't watched a lot of his stuff, but I've watched, you know, him on Booster, but like the three videos I think I've seen, he's been on Booster boards the whole time.
Oh, he uses his boards all the time. I'll tell you, Boosted board to me is just a quick way for me to land and crack my head because I've never been a skateboarder. I'm not.
It does look like it's a great way to get around the traffic in New York City too.
Oh yeah, yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. So right. Someone like him, he might be buying this iMac Pro, this 5K.
Probably two or three of them even.
So there was something else, and it seems to me we talked about rumors of this product, but Apple's now made it official. Their, what are they calling it? The HomePod.
A dumb name, by the way.
Yeah, and they previously when we talked about it, it was just referred to as like the Apple speaker or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, why don't you fill us in on what this is?
Well, what's cool is, you know, everybody has their assistant in a box.
Yep.
You know, let her out. No, just kidding.
But, someone is slavery.
But they've finally done it. They're putting Siri in their own little cylinder speaker box. It's called the HomePod, as David said. Some of the specs that were released today at the WWDC was an A8 chip, which what that's going to do is going to adjust the sound based on the shape and size of the room. So if you have like a bigger room, it's gonna boost the sound coming out of that speaker more. And if it's a smaller room, it'll lower it. It's also gonna handle the mic better, you know, for bigger and smaller rooms, you know, to respond to the different commands that you do. Now, of course, it's fitted with Siri. You know, everybody has to have their assistant, and it's gonna go head to head with the Echo and the Google Home. Now, it is kind of interesting that they called it the Home Pod, since there already is another thing out there called Google Home.
Right.
You know,
right.
To kind of, you know, you think they'd steer away, you know, make a total individual name, but they didn't. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But the absolute biggest thing here, though, is its cost. Just like anything right. Apple, there's that Apple tax on it. It's $350. You want to compare that to the Amazon Dot, which I have. It's $50. So it's, you know, it's quite a bit more. You could get, you know, how many is that? That's like, you could get like seven of them. Seven dots for the price of one HomePod.
And then you can connect them.
Yeah.
And make calls from room to room.
Connect the exactly. dots. Now, it does look like it's about the same size of the Google Home. If you guys remember the images of the Google Home, it's more rounded. It has more rounded edges and stuff. For the Google Home has that weird like slant,
yeah.
And you know, and it's you know, harsh corners and stuff. This is, it's bulbous. It's
don't use that word ever again.
Well, I know it does come in black or white, so Michael Jackson would be happy.
Well, whichever one you get, you're stuck with it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's you know, now we got another one out there. So how many people do you think have a Google Home and an Amazon Echo? And then they're going to go and get the HomePod.
Well, exactly. Like we talked about, was it last week? I made the comment, like, these things are coming and adding features and doing this better. And then that one adds something new so fast and so quickly. It almost makes you just want to wait and see, okay, who's going to be left standing at the end of this? Especially seeing how much Amazon seems to be coupling with Apple. There's a lot of, you know, logic to seeing the idea of, you know, maybe they're going to work out some sort of partnership and they're going to take the Echo and, you know, Apple HomePod, mash these things up into the like premium and budget offerings as one giant line, you know.
Ooh, the Echo Pod.
Yeah, something like that.
I like it.
Yeah,
you know what I would like to see? I think it would be kind of cool if third parties are able to make these kind of devices.
Uh-huh.
And then you could, based on your, what you could subscribe, or, you know, if you have an Amazon Prime account, you could have Alexa. And if you, you know what I mean? Be able to load, you know, if you wanted Google Home to use OK Google on it versus Alexa and vice versa. And right, I realize Apple will never kind of give that up because they...
Now, the one benefit, though, that Apple does have with this is iTunes. It's integrated with iTunes. You can call up any iTunes song, which is really nice because who has more songs than anybody? And that would have to be iTunes after all these years. I think they definitely have to have the biggest library. Followed then probably by Amazon. I would say probably Amazon has more than Google Play does. Don't quote me on that. I'm just going to guess.
You know,
it's
and honestly,
a complete guess.
I would, now that Alexa can use the iCal, a lot less incentive for me to want to even get the Apple one. Because that was kind of when I was thinking about it, like, it would be great if I could ask, you know, where's my next appointment, blah, blah, blah. But it would have to tap into my iCal.
Gotcha. I was stuck.
Sorry, the Apple calendar.
Yeah, I didn't know what you meant by iCal. I was thinking, what is this? I haven't heard of this. Something new.
His name's Cal, and he doesn't speak well. Hi, Cal.
<That's it.
laughs>
Hi, Cal.
Hi, Cal. I know you are, but what am I? Good for you and your father, Francis.
Anyway.
All right, next story. Next WWDC story.
Yeah. No, I thought you were going to go with Dubs.
Oh, yeah. Dubs DC. Sorry. All right, so we have another iPad size.
Yay.
We have so many. We have the iPad mini, which is 7.8. We have the you know, the average iPod iPad, which is 9.7. The big mammal jammo, which is 12.9, and now we have a 10.5, iPad Pro.
Yay.
So we have so many different sizes of iPads.
8/10 of an inch bigger than the other one. Phenomenal. Where do I
Phenomenal. Say? Now, it does say from what they released at Dubs DC that it has been designed with separate iOS 11 features for the iPad that make it work more like an Apple computer. I'm assuming what they mean is more like Mac OS, which is...
You know, I saw something. I wish I had it in front of me. I don't. But there was someone commenting on it saying, with a lot of the news with this iOS 11 and iPad upgrades, it makes it seem like Apple is finally kind of looking at things and readjusting and saying, you know what, we don't need to make all of these office productivity software packages feel more like apps. Sometimes it's okay to have them feel just like what they're supposed to, so they can get the work done without being, you know, a clunky app to deal with. And that was a lot of the sentiment I'm hearing around this new iPad as well, that this is going to be kind of, you know, edging into their, you know, smaller portable on the go, you know, productivity machines as well.
I concur. Well, since we're talking about iOS 11, iOS 11 was announced.
I'm just boring because I get done and it's like no response. Crickets.
I concur.
Then I start thinking, did I even make sense when I was talking, or was I talking about
hamburgers
again?
Well, at least I'm not like Adam throughout, you know, a lot of our shows, and he's like.
Well, that's usually after I get done talking. So, I'm kidding.
Everyone's gonna hate me.
No, yes.
As long as you I don't sleep well at night. And this is
that's a lot of yawns.
That's a lot of yawns.
There you go. Get a little life into it.
I'm not impressed with iPads anymore for some reason.
Yeah, I don't have one anymore at all. I kind of sometimes wish I did, but.
Well, I still have two of them. They both have broke screens, so now I have my Asus Android tablet, which I love.
I'd rather have a real small mid-range laptop that I can do a decent amount of stuff on that's real small and portable.
All right, well, back to Dubs DC real fast here. I just wanted to say that they did announce iOS 11 and macOS High Sierra. Now, I'm assuming that's because, you know, California has now legalized recreational marijuana. So now it's macOS High Sierra instead of just Sierra. I do not know what the High Sierra means. I guess there's a Sierra, and then there's one that's a little
could
higher.
Could be the mountains.
Yeah, there's a low one, then there's a high one. And it's, I don't know.
It's just weird that it's called High Sierra. Usually, I mean, I understand back in the cat days they'd have lion, and then they'd release mountain lion. They'd have leopard, then they'd have released snow leopard. So now they have Sierra, and like, what can we do to Sierra? Snow Sahara? No, we can't do that.
Snow Sahara?
Well, isn't it? Desert. I mean, maybe I'm dumb, but isn't Sierra just
it's a mountain?
The mountain range, Sierra Nevada's, and the Sierra mountain range. And so I'm assuming maybe there's a higher point of the mountains, a specific peak or something that they're
going
after.
It's still a dumb name. I don't care.
True.
I like if you want to tie it with recreational marijuana.
Yeah, I like that too.
That's funny.
Yeah.
We're moving straight to iOS 420, bro.
Right.
But does conclude the information that came out of day one of Dubs DC. So, unfortunately, we're not doing a show tomorrow, so we can't, come back with some more information. But we will cover it on next week's episode.
All right. So, what are you most excited about all this? I mean, we've got a handful of things announced. What's the one that's got you going, I need that? If I could make it happen financially, I need that.
5K iMac Pro, duh. All three of us would want that bad boy. But
I kind of just want iOS High Sierra. Yeah.
Well, the thing, iOS High Sierra, just made for Dave.
It should just be called Usually Dave. Let's just be honest. Well, I mean,
that sounds like a fragrance.
usually Dave.
sorry, Jason. It's got hints of mountain ranges and iron ranges.
Smells of fresh cut wood.
And butter.
no butter. Oh, pine forests. And mosquito repellent.
It's basically Pine Sol.
Yeah, right.
So good, baby.
Anyway, that cuts you off there. You're going 5K iMac Pro. I'd agree. That's probably what I'd like.
What I'm really hoping for is that we're going to hear something about, you know, in the next few days, we're going to hear something about a new Mac Mini. Hopefully. I mean, I'm kind of surprised they didn't mention it on the first day. It seemed like they're doing a lot of big hardware stuff on the first day. So
one thing I want to talk about a little bit more from this real quick and maybe real slow. I don't know. You mentioned 10 gig Ethernet in the 5K iMac. And so are we starting, I mean, this isn't the iMac Pro. A lot of people can use this for home or else you could use it in your business, your studio, whatever. Are we actually seeing a lot of 10 gig connectivity in small business or in homes? I haven't been seeing a whole lot of that. We have 10 gig, you know, from some between switches and servers and some things, but overall, I don't know. Have you guys been hearing anything about home networking equipment and and faster speeds?
Well, again,
Jason?
This 5K iMac Pro is probably not going to make it into too many people's homes, so it's probably looking more for, you know, like studios and stuff. And, you know, I'm assuming, you know, if you're working with, you know, that much footage and you have to take it from one Mac to another, I mean, you're going to need a fast pipe. So I could understand. Yeah.
Fast pipe? I'm thinking High Sierra, right?
Am I right? Don't leave me hanging, bro.
Oh, I'm so hungry right now. Yeah. Hungry for technology.
Well, if you're hungry, you know, AMD has those new APU chips coming out. Okay, sorry.
And when you're most hungry, I mean, you guys are missing the obvious here. When you are the
eating
most hungry for technology, the most satisfying thing is to grab a nice hot bowl of digital soup. I mean, you're
chunky.
Missing it.
Chunky.
Yeah, chunky.
It's really are you talking about Dave again?
I'm just like an amalgamation of the three hosts.
Whoa, word of the day. Amalgamation.
Amalgamation.
Word of the day is...
Mecca like a high, mecca high knee ho.
Dave, I'm sorry. There was one more WWDC story that we had to cover, wasn't there?
There was one, yeah. The biggest WWDC news, and that was, to me, what WWDC stands for, and that was the brand new Wonder Woman DC movie. I know you guys haven't seen it. You haven't seen it yet.
I've seen the trailer.
I did do... The trailer, yep, they're very good. I did do, for anyone that wants to check it out, I did shoot just a real small, you know, super simple, it's shot on my iPhone, no fancy, nothing. Kind of a first reaction
chock
video.
Full of spoilers.
Spoiler free.
Yeah, no, there is no spoilers in it. I posted it over on our YouTube channel, so you guys can check that out. And this movie, I don't want to spoil it. I really need I need you guys to go watch this somehow because I got to talk to someone about this movie. It is so good.
Is it really that good? Oh, wait, yeah. So this is what I was going to ask earlier, but I figured I'd save the question for the show. In, you know, Batman versus Superman, there was a lot of people that picked on her acting. It's really wooden and her line delivery is terrible. It sounds like if the movie was that good, it was vastly improved.
Yeah, I didn't get that feeling from her in Batman v Superman, but you have to remember, a lot of people hated that movie, but when you think of Wonder Woman in the context of Batman versus Superman, she is really not in the movie a whole lot. She's got the few scenes through the early mid part where she's interacting with Bruce Wayne, and then she shows up as Wonder Woman in the massive fight scene, you know? And so she's not a main character in that movie, even though it's kind of just her brief introduction to it. Now, this movie, I can't spoil it. It's obviously all featured around her, but it is, her acting was amazing. It was the perfect mix of, I don't know, how would you say it? You know, complete badassery when she's fighting and just her approach to everything. And she is just badass. But also at the same time, really, really does. It's an amazing job of making you understand that character and what she stands for, why she does what she does, where she comes from, and how that shaped who she is and why she's a hero and all of that. I mean, I don't want to say too much because of spoilers, but early on, you know, through the first part of the movie, you get to see her get introduced into our world, so to speak. Okay. And there's that fine balance where she's kind of, you know, naive about things, doesn't know really what's going on, doesn't quite understand the world. But at the same time, she's not dumb. She knows stuff, but she doesn't understand why it's being done this way in our world, kind of thing. Okay. It's phenomenal.
DC movies, I like Man of Steel. I didn't mind Batman versus Superman. I kind of like that one. But they've, when it comes to like DC versus Marvel, there's, you know, so far it's been no real comparison. So would you say, and this is, I haven't seen this at all, that this is DC's best and has finally caught up as far as quality? If they can carry this with the rest of their movies, could it be comparable?
Well, I think so. It just depends on if you're a fan of DC Comics. Because here's the thing. DC, what they're getting slammed so much for is that Superman is a bright, colorful character, and people are mad that he's not in the movies, that he's kind of, they call him emo Superman. You know, he's a little darker because
I'm
going
to go in my room and listen
on.
To my music. You don't understand me.
Right. And so it's not the big, bold, bright, colorful storylines. Wonder Woman, absolutely, I think, is the best so far. And I'm really excited to see, because if they bring, you know, that feeling into the main Justice League movie that's coming up, because there's definitely still darkness in this Wonder Woman movie. I mean, it's not all sunshine and, you know, paradise. I mean, it most of the movie, as you've seen in the trailers, it's a war movie. It takes place in World War One, and so it's dark and it's gritty, but there's still a positivity about it that the other ones didn't have.
I was going to say dark isn't bad, because if you're going to compare the Dark Knight series to Joel Schumacher's, you know, travesties, his neon worlds, I will take Dark Knight every time.
And that's the thing. I mean, think about the characters. Batman is a dark, gritty character. There's never been... I shouldn't say never.
60s Batman was pretty campy.
Yeah, that was campy. But you think of the comics, you think about, you know, most of the most well-known Batman stories, and they are dark. This is a guy who watched his parents, like many superheroes, but, you know, he watched his parents get murdered right in front of him. And it twisted him, you know. And
spoiler!
Yeah, well, go back to the 1960s or 50s then. But no, I mean, and they're dark characters. Superman, yeah, I get that he is not, in these movies, portrayed as the bright, colorful everything that he is in the comics. But I don't think that that bright, colorful Superman works in a movie. Just because, what do you do with it? There's no drama. There's no feeling of tension, like, what's going to happen here, you know? And I like the darker twist to bring out more of his character, more of the struggles that he faces trying to be a hero, even though he is oftentimes hated, flat out hated by the public. And that's a real struggle that someone would have to face. But the other tough part about this, not counting Batman, your two biggest heroes in the Justice League are gods. There's no one in Marvel besides Thor in that category at this point.
The Hulk can almost be considered.
No, I mean literal gods. Like there is some. Now that you're getting into the space stuff and Guardians 2 brought in some stuff I won't talk about since I know you guys haven't seen it, but there are more godlike beings. But you know, these two are they're gods. And how do you defeat a god? And how do you make them interesting?
Puny god.
It's kind of how, you know, you think of a character like the Punisher. I love the Punisher. But his biggest problem and why he could only have maybe a single movie or a single TV series and no follow-up seasons is because he kills his villains and they're gone. He's so good at what he does, they're gone. You know, and there's no continuing story. There's no drama. You know he's going to get his guy because that's what he is. And Superman's the same. Wonder Woman, in a lot of ways, is the same. They're indestructible, you know, virtually. You know, so how do you keep them interesting? And that's through the character development and through the stuff that you have them going through to understand what being a hero means and showing us as the viewers why they're choosing to do the things they're doing. And yeah, this Wonder Woman movie was hands down the best DC movie yet to date. And I enjoyed Suicide Squad. I had fun with Man of Steel and loved Batman v Superman, unlike most people. I just love seeing some of my favorite characters up on the big screen. But
since you mentioned Suicide Squad, Dave is the resident nerd when it comes to comic books here. So I'm going to ask you this question here because I watched an interesting video on YouTube, and because I don't know any of the stuff that happens in the comics for any of these, movies that I'm watching now. I just enjoy the movies.
There was a video
I watched, and they broke it down scene by scene with Suicide Squad and through the history of Batman and stuff. But talking about, is the Joker Robin?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've never even thought about that, because why would I? I didn't even know there's three different Robins. They broke it down that there was three different Robins throughout history. Three different people played Robin. Yep. One of them became Nightwing.
Dick Grayson.
He became Nightwing, and this guy, the Joker in the Suicide Squad, he has some very telltale tattoos on his face, on his arms, that match up with Robin. What do you know about this? Is Robin Joker? Did he turn into a Joker?
He might have, and we don't know for sure, because it's a big theory that's out there, because there was, I believe his name, character, that Robin, I believe, was called Tim Drake.
Yeah, that was one. I do remember that name.
Is that the one? I'm pretty sure that's the one that they're thinking is now the Joker, because Dick Grayson goes on to become Nightwing, and all of that is its own storyline. There's another Batman, or another Robin, whose name is Damian, I believe. And that is actually Batman's son. And so this Tim Drake is the only one that kind of just is there and is not. And there's a lot of speculation that maybe that's what happened, is that he went, for whatever reason, got sick of being Robin. Something happened. He went crazy. He snapped. Who knows what it was. And he became the Joker. And so I don't know if we'll ever know that, because that's something they're going to have to, write into the comics or the movies, or add this into canon. But it's a very popular theory, not just recently. I mean, this has been out for a number of years. Well, since the movie was announced, the Suicide Squad, back in, 2014, 15, whenever it was?
Well, the video I watched, it's a channel called Film Theory. And the actual video is entitled, "Is Suicide Squad's Joker Actually Batman's Boy Wonder?" Watch this video. Sure. I mean, they convinced me. They zaputered the films awesomely to show you how it could be him. They have me convinced. I mean, I knew nothing about, multiple Robins for one. And I never even knew that, that Robin, possibly could have become the Joker. I didn't even know Robin died. Somebody, in Batman versus Superman, I guess he's dead. There's a gravestone for him. I didn't see that when I watched it.
Yeah, there is. But there's also a scene that references that. There's when he's in the Batcave, he's looking at his wall of memorabilia, so to speak.
I was going to bring that one up too.
And there was a Batman suit. I think it was a Batman suit that had stuff written on it, and there was a bullet hole in it, or it might have been the Robin suit. I forget, but that's part of that storyline, because Joker did kill one of the Robins in one of the.
Yeah, what you're mentioning there is talked about in that video. That is Robin's suit, and it has some graffiti written on it by whoever killed him.
Yeah.
He's holding, and that's what they're saying. He's holding this
a crowbar.
Well, it looks more like a staff of some sort. I guess the Joker uses that staff. So
here's something interesting. So Zack Snyder, the director of Batman vs. Superman, had this to say about the Batcave and Robin's suit. He said, "In my mind, it was that Robin had died 10 years earlier during some run-in with a young Joker, Jared Leto.
Right.
To me, it was a fun backstory there to play with. The whole idea was that there had been loss and sacrifice, and in a weird way, he sacrificed everything to be Batman, right? He doesn't really have a life outside of the cave. I thought by including Robin, a dead Robin, it would help us understand he's been on quite a little journey."
Right. But that theory also comes in, and I mean, that's from your director, but
right.
you know, you who knows what they're going to do. He obviously can't tip his hat to anything coming, possibly, you know, revelations in the future, you know, future movies. So he's got to kind of follow that too. But maybe that's true. Maybe, but there's talk too that, you know, that Robin, you know, the old kind of, he died that day, but now I'm here, you know, and like he was injured badly or something happened, and that's when he snapped too. And so then that's when he took on the personality of the Joker, kind of a situation. So I've heard that argument too. So
yeah, I just it was an interesting video, and you know, I just thought I'd bring it up here, you know, because like I said, you are the nerdiest of the nerd comic book nerd boy. So I wanted to find out what you thought about that. Totes.
It's a very cool theory to look at, but at the end of the day, what's even cooler is this Wonder Woman movie. I mean, no joke. I very rarely, most of the time I go see a movie, and Adam, I think we talked about this before, where it's like, it's not super common for us to just watch a movie and say, oh, that was awful, you know?
Right.
You know, most of the time it's like, yeah, that was all right, you know, I enjoyed it.
Three Ninjas sucked. Entertaining.
Yep.
What?
But, I mean, it's one of those things where this one, I walked out of there, and if I could have, I literally would have walked right back in and watched it again right then.
Moto surf.
It was just
Let's not let this go here. So what do you mean by what, Adam?
Oh, I was sarcastically talking about the movie Three Ninjas. No, it did have one scene that I found really funny. Ernie Reyes Sr., who is Ernie Reyes Jr.'s dad, played this one character who was this super martial artist or whatever. And in the middle of their whole battle with the bad guys and stuff, he drops like a pack of cigarettes or something like that. And he's like, yeah, I know I should quit. That was funny. So there's one redeeming scene.
I did not see that scene, and you want to know why? Because that movie made absolute history. The only movie I've ever walked out on.
I
actually walked out of the theater about 20 minutes in.
What year did that come out? Because I was a kid.
Yeah, I was a teenager. I was...
Were you? 1992.
I was 20.
I was 20.
Wasn't there an old story inside joke about that, Jason? Back when I was a kid. Oh, you mean when you were 25? Yeah. Back in the day, we always used to joke.
And I was like, I was 13.
Yeah. Well,
I think when that came out, and I was just getting into martial arts and stuff. So yeah, sure.
Got his first pube,
ninja stuff.
Oh, man. He's like, no, I have a mop. I look like Wolverine and Headlock.
Whoa. Well,
do you like that voice? That's my new character. I'm going to do a whole podcast like that.
False information, folks.
Phew. Anyways.
Oh, whatever, late bloomer.
But yeah, that's... That was my news about my WWDC that had me all excited. So
I'll see it. I
would love
sometime.
To hear what the... Yeah, and I'd love to hear not only what you guys just to chat about it, but love to hear what our listeners, any of you that have gone and seen it, please, if you want to discuss it on our Facebook page or Twitter, just be mindful of the spoilers. We don't want to spoil it for Jason or Adam or for any of our other listeners that maybe haven't seen it yet. So,
or if you hate us, spoil it.
Yeah, or you know, direct message is always something you can do to get a hold of us that way, email, whatever, and be happy to chat with you about the show. So.
I think Jason should rewatch Three Ninjas and talk about it at the next show.
No,
think,
I
Dave?
Will not put my... There's so many movies I haven't watched yet that are awesome. I'm not going to go back and watch that movie. I'm sorry. Maybe if I... Okay,
kids,
I'll make you a deal.
The kid's got a video
I'll
game.
Make you a deal. If I watch every other movie in history, I'll come back and then watch that one.
Oh.
I'm seriously... I have no time to watch movies. I'm so far behind on everything.
Yeah.
Your face is far behind. All right. So let's bring this back to something cool.
All right. Yeah. My name's Jason. I'm a Gemini.
Arcade to TV. So there's this new product from the people over at X Arcade bringing more than 250 arcade classics to your living room TV.
That's a lot of classics.
That's a lot of classics. Somebody tell me more about this Arcade to TV. Who knows most about it?
I've never heard of this.
Well, Jason shared it with me.
Okay, didn't you?
What it is X Arcade has been making cabinets for emulation for a while now. Full height cabinets. Remember the little tabletops they were called? You know, you'd set your pizza and your pop up there and you'd be playing Pac-Man all day. They make those and they originally started out just making arcade style controllers for your game consoles. So you'd have the authentic buttons with the joysticks. And then they expanded into this. And what it is, it's It's cabinets that allow you to, there's a full-fledged computer in there with emulators for all different systems, you know, basically arcade to start with, but also all the consoles and stuff too. But what this one is this is taking the screen out of the equation here. It still has the computer and everything in there, but it is just like the bottom half of the cabinet with the, you know, the back half and the top half cut off. Think of it like that. They just cut the controller part off straight down. It's still sitting up at the normal height, but it's just the controller part. And it's made out of, it has, what do you call that? Diamond, it's in the back of pickup trucks.
Diamond plate.
Yeah, it looks like it has diamond plate for the feet and stuff down there. But it's arcade quality controllers, buttons, everything like that. And it hooks up to your TV via HDMI. And it comes with 250 arcade classics plus 10 different console emulators right now. And you know, there's a legality there on if you can have the ROMs or not. But, you know, you can keep adding ROMs and everything like that. And ROM is just a dump of a cartridge or a, be it like an arcade game, a dump of the chip into a file that then your computer can run with a piece of software called an emulator. And it emulates everything. It emulates, you know, the actual, you know, the hardware that it was run on, you know, the CPU, the GPU, it accepts calls from the joysticks and everything. So it's pretty cool, and you can relive all these great arcade classics right up on your screen with the authentic controllers.
Now, they have the 250 games they're including are licensed, though.
Possibly, because this puppy costs $1,500.
Yeah, they actually explicitly say that it includes built-in arcade games, but they don't install any unlicensed games.
Right.
You can do that yourself. You know, you can add all those consoles and all those games yourself onto it. The system will handle it. But like the legality for those, you know, back in the day when emulation was in its infancy, everybody was like, well, if I have the actual cartridge on my shelf, I can have a digital copy of that, right? Well, the law states no, because you have to circumvent protection to actually do that, and you're breaking the end user agreement if you circumvent that protection. So you've already broke the law there. So, you know, it's kind of a conundrum.
Yeah.
Well, this looks pretty cool. They've got a really long list of games.
Yeah.
They have Tecmo games, SNK arcade classics, Namco, Capcom, Sega Genesis classics, Atari Arcade and 2600, Midway, Taito. They've got a lot of games in here.
Is it Taito or is it Taito?
I don't know.
Taito? It might be Taito because it's AI.
Taito, Tato, Potato, Potato.
It's Potato.
Now, the list of games is pretty awesome here. You got to look at, specifically, you'd want to play arcade games on this. Console games will be cool too. But, I mean, since you have those authentic arcade controls, and, oh, we didn't mention this, it does have the Rolly Ball. You remember some of those games that needed the Rolly Ball, like what was it, Marble Madness, or a game like Marble.
If you have carpal tunnel and you're working on your spreadsheet.
And what was it? The golf games? Remember, you'd have to go to you know, take your shots and stuff. But the SNK arcade classics. I know Dave and I were talking about this because we used to play some of these on emulation on my computer. They have the Baseball Stars too. We were playing that bowling one. I don't see it on here though. But they do have Neo Turf Masters, which will use the Rolly Ball.
Right.
So let me ask you guys this question. What is your favorite arcade game of all time?
Of all freaking time.
All time.
Boy, I think I can narrow it down to just a couple, two, three.
All right, you start while I'm trying to narrow mine down to my favorite of all time.
Well, arcade games for me were always the place, and it's one of the only places where I loved playing fighters.
Yep.
I remember, of course, Mortal Kombat being just amazing. I pumped so many quarters into those machines playing Mortal Kombat. That was a blast. Fantastic. Do you remember Killer Instinct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was also one of my favorites. But as far as a non-fighter, I really, really, and you guys might laugh at this, but I spent a lot of time playing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade.
Well, that was
game.
A fighter. That's still technically a fighter.
It kind of was, but it was like an adventure fighter. And that game,
that was a good game.
Yeah, I played that so much. And See, when I was younger, the arcade here where I live, it's not there anymore.
Really? What happened? No.
Well, it stayed for quite a while, longer than most did. But when I was working at the movie theater in town here, the arcade was right across the hall in our shopping mall here. And we knew the owner, and it ended up being where the boss of the theater, her husband and her, owned the arcade. So over the years, then we would kind of just, you know, work at both places, but we got to play a lot of free games eventually, which was awesome. But even so, I pumped in, I don't know how many dollars after dollars just playing these games. We go hang mm-hmm. out, and I mean, there's so many good ones, but those are the three sure. that jumped out to me.
Now, this is why I'm willing to pay 99 cents for an app so I don't have to do any of the, you know, because yeah. I think about those times that I spent in the arcade. You know, Super Mario Brothers was in the arcade. Yeah. That was one of the first ones I ever played. You know, Frogger and Pac-Man, of course, are the other classics. I always liked the ones that had the guns attached, because when I was a little kid, I was like, this is awesome.
Turn I actually hated those. I got so tired. My finger would get so tired.
Yep. But I've got to go with your fighter one, though. Yeah. Street Fighter 2.
Oh, yeah.
When that one was out, it was on like Donkey Kong. Yeah. Also a classic Donkey game.
What about...
So, Jason, what are you?
Remember Capcom versus Street Fighter, right? That was pretty...
I don't think I even played that one.
Oh, really? Oh.
But my... You know, I'm going to have to go mine, and you're going to laugh at this, but it's still sort of in the same vein as what you had said, Dave. But I really loved that Simpsons one. It was a fighter, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Simpsons game, the comedy was just amazing. Playing through the game and seeing all the in-jokes, it was great. I loved it. The sound effects, everything was awesome.
Yeah, I remember the Simpsons.
Do you concur?
Cartoon show.
I concur.
I remember also having a lot of fun playing. Remember when they came out with the motorcycle racing where you sat on the motorcycle that would lean?
Yeah, I didn't care for those either.
Those were a little more newer. They weren't some of the old classics, but I used to have a lot of fun with those. And some of the driving, well, we talked last week about Crazy Taxi.
Yeah.
Crazy Taxi was another one, and those style of games I had a lot of fun with. You know, I think I played more.
I concur.
I think I played more arcade games than I did a lot of the, you know, classic games like NES. I mean, I played a lot of NES, but I bet you I spent more hours playing in the arcade than I did NES and Super Nintendo.
Here is, I don't know if you'll ever be able to get a copy of this. Possibly. I'd have to look online to see if I could. But Chuck E. Cheese still has arcade games, and we've taken our kids to Chuck E. Cheese several times. And that's the only time I ever see arcade games. They have Mario Kart. This is not a port of any Mario Kart in any system. It is actual arcade Mario Kart. Completely That's different awesome. Boards and stuff. And I wonder if there's any way to get that for a system like the X Arcades. One of the key things here is this was a two-seater. But when you sit down there, it takes a picture of you. It has a camera. Uh-huh. This is how new it is. It takes a picture of you. And your actual image is above your racer as you're going through it, because you're supposed to be able to daisy chain like four, I think up to eight players, so like four of these dual setups. And, you know, eight of you are racing against each other at the same time with your own pitcher. So you could see your friends. Oh, I just passed my friend there, you know that. And I've played it every time I've gone to Chuck E. Cheese. I've played it. The boards are cool. I mean, they're completely different. All original, and even this latest, Mario Kart 8 redo, whatever they called it, remix for the Switch. Right. I didn't see any listing of the Mario Kart arcade, you know, boards on there. So that's what they need to do. They need to release these boards on a console, or hopefully for X Arcade, you can get a copy of that ROM legally because you bought the system, right?
No, I wonder, you know, arcades have kind of died off. They've died off quite a bit because so many of the in-home gaming systems are
no
amazing.
Arcades.
And so you go to Chuck E. Cheese or there's, you know, some of those other kind of like entertainment
Dave and Buster's.
They have a big arcade.
Yep.
Yeah, they'll have these systems that you just can't get for home. You know, it's a full 3D immersed like TIE Fighter game with Star Wars, or they've had to really up the game on arcade games to actually get people to play the physical machines because otherwise why bother? And of course, and then a lot of it swung over to, you know, win your tickets with this pointless thing. But they look cool with touchscreen interactivity. and people can get prizes and stuff. But I mean, there's gone are those days of the 80s where it was just hang out at the arcade all day and play.
And that's what's weird too, is that, you know, some of the older games, like I think with games like Killer Instinct and Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, if you were good enough and you stayed there long enough pumping quarters in that machine, you could beat the game. You know, there was an endpoint, but most, I mean, you think about most arcade games, there's no thought given ever to story much. I mean, a little bit, and, you know, some of those older ones like the Ninja Turtles and Simpsons and some of those there was, but they're really not that long of games, even though it feels like a long time when you're there playing, but they're designed for people to come in and play for, you know, even if they want to keep pumping quarters in an hour or two. And you think about an average game right now on your PlayStation or Xbox, what is gameplay hours? 15 to 20 hours?
Oh, that's
to complete a game?
Well, not like a Skyrim or something.
No, some of those are going to be up. I mean, I'm just saying average, you know, an average adventure game. Well, and it's such a different type of gaming that I think a lot of people really don't know about anymore.
Well, for this,
forgotten about.
For this 46-year-old guy, every game is like a, you know, a year game. So...
right. I can't remember the last time I actually beat a game.
I remember that Simpsons arcade,
that was,
though.
Yeah,
that was
great.
That was a fun one. That was a fun one.
Cool.
Yep, so are we all going to get some X-Arcades? Is that what we're going to do? Arcade to homes, each of us?
You know, it's a lot cheap. You could get two of them for the price of one 5K Mac, Mac Pro.
Yeah.
True.
So I think
ooh, and we could daisy chain them together and have four players. Okay.
Whoa.
Big. Now, I do not have a recommendation this week for a mobile game or app.
Loser.
What about you guys? Jason, what do you have for this week for a mobile game or app?
All right, I'm playing three games simultaneously right now, but the one I know, I'm hardcore. Now, each of these are those freemium games where you can only play for maybe like 5 minutes before you can't do anything else and let you let some time go through, or you spend some real dollars to do it. And I refuse to do that. So every day I play like 5 minutes of each game. I'm playing right now is called Town. And it's a lot of fun. It reminds me of SimCity, but, you know, more just more easy, I guess you'd want to say. It's like you got to build houses and stuff to bring people in. You build all kinds of, you know, businesses and stuff. And then you're also doing the farming. Plant your crops, harvest your crops, create, you know, bread. It's a lot of fun. You have the cows, the chickens, you feed them, you get the milk, you get the cheese. It's a fun little game. It's just like we talked before, it's freemium. You get to play it for free, but, you know, you can't just play all you want because, you know, you have to let timers go. You know, you're making, making one of the cheese things. It takes 19 minutes to make cheese, so you're not going to sit there for 19 minutes. Here comes cheese! No, you're going to go about your life and then come back later and get your cheese.
Right.
I wish there was a game where you could like, gather grain and stuff.
What is this?
I'm gathering
grain. Is this another, did third parties make it?
Warcraft?
Yeah. No. giving you a hard time.
Green.
So Township.
It's called Township.
I have to say I've never checked.
Well, it's
it
on
out,
iOS but. And Android. I first started playing it on iOS, and then my screen of my iPad screwed up. I bought a new screen, had somebody install it. He totally borked the system. So then what I did was I went and bought that Asus ZenPad, and I reinstalled it on the Android store, but of course they don't talk, so all my progress is gone. So I started over on it, but what's cool is I log in with my Google Play account on both my Android phone and my Android tablet, and I can play them, you know, at the exact same spot on both of them, which is pretty cool.
Sure. Well, game wise I've been just playing a little bit of this game. It's called The Trail. And it's kind
baloney.
Of these more, it's another freemium game. You can pay to do things faster and, you know, whatever else, but it's a very relaxing kind of just check out, relax for a little while and have fun. The whole point of the game, the first part at least is you're an explorer and you get to this place and you get a guide and you've got to hike like, I don't know what it is, 20 kilometers through these mountains and areas. along the way you collect stuff and you learn how to make clothing, and you know, it's kind of a little bit RPG, but just a really cool like musical atmosphere and really minimalist kind of graphics. So it's just really relaxing. I can't say, you know, when you play it, it's like, oh, okay, I'm just walking. You know, it's really all it is. You can control the speed, you can stop, and every time you get to these camps, that's when you can do your crafting. You can trade items and sell them and all of that kind of stuff to earn money and whatever else to let you do other stuff in the game. And then you make things like tools, you know, axes and whatever else. But it's kind of just a fun, I just happened to see it in just a fun little, you know, putz around type of game just to play.
I'm looking at it right now. It looks like it's available for iOS and Android.
Yeah, and it's just, it's like I say, you know, freemium, so it is free to just play as long as you don't care. And it's just kind of fun to mess with it. You know, a lot of people would look at it and say it's kind of boring, but it kind of reminds me in a way of those, that genre of game, like what's the one they just released today also at the conference there, Momentum 2. One of these just kind of really highly designed and just puzzler, kind of check out, have a little fun, but not real stressful, like, oh, fast twitch action type gaming, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, just very comfortable to play on the phone, so. Adam, I see in the show notes you might have come up with a game idea, and then I have a couple apps that I can tell people about too.
All right, sure. Yeah, I mean, as you guys were talking about the games, I was thinking, what games have I ever played that I really liked? And on mobile devices, not a ton. I don't do a lot. Yeah. But one is called Sword of Zolan, and this is kind of a 8-bit graphics-looking side-scroller that I downloaded and played all the way through last year, which I really liked. So it's one of those things that if you got 5 minutes to play, you can get through a level. Uh-huh. And it's kind of similar to like Mario Brothers as far as your side-scrolling action and getting over tasks and stuff. But you're this guy with a sword and you're kind of going out to save the... I can't remember the exact story, but you're out to save somebody. And there's bosses at the end. It's kind of a nice little classic. It's got good music and stuff. It's pretty fun. And the controls are super easy on an iOS handheld device. I think this is one of those 99-cent games. But it was really good. And it was like well worth the dollar.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I know I was looking at a few different ones when Jason asked us to come up with some stuff. And there's a lot of these small games that I was like, boy, that looks kind of fun. But you start adding them up. It's like this one's $2.99. That one's $4.99. And I mean, they've got the full Final Fantasy games, all the stuff out there. I'm like, that'd be killer. Mm-hmm. You know, and just to sit down and get into, but I'm not spending $29 for a game on my phone.
I bought what was it called? Dungeon Quest 8. That was the full on 3D one. $20. I bought it.
Ouch.
I know. I'm like, I gotta. Oof. Well, actually, I'm gonna say I didn't pay $20. I do what's called rewards on Android. I know you guys are not.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
You're not on Android, but. Every like couple of days it has you do a survey. Just I don't know what it's based on, but it asks, you know, where you shop at, you know, different things like that. And then every time you answer it, you get some Google bucks, or whatever they call it. And it added up, and once I hit $20, I bought it. And I bought one other game for like $13 earlier by doing that same thing. So nice. I'm not actually wasting any money, but yeah, they do cost some money there. But hey, I wanted to bring this up. We were talking about Marathon last week because we were talking about Destiny, and then we were talking about Marathon. I did a little research on Marathon over the week, and Bungie released Marathon 1 and 2 completely free to Mac and Windows users. So go ahead and go on over to Bungie.com, I believe it is. And there's probably some other sources, probably like Steam maybe has it or something. But it's completely free, so you can play those classic games for free.
Nice.
Because I know a lot of people haven't played it, so sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
For sure.
Yes, I did. I'm going to interrupt you again. Okay, I'm going to do it now.
I had a few apps I was going to talk about, but I think I'll push those off to another show because, number one, we're getting long on time here.
Crap,
and
I didn't even notice that.
There are a couple very good... they're apps I just recently started using. They are pay apps, but for video and video editing on my phone. So I'll dive into that another time. That might be a little bit longer conversation. But what I wanted to get to real quick is this riddle. So have you guys figured it out?
I'll read it again, and I'm going to give my answer, and I know it's right. Go.
Okay. It says, a woman is sitting in her hotel room when there is a knock at the door. She opened the door to see a man whom she had never seen before. He said, oh, sorry, I made a mistake. I thought this was my room. He then went down the hallway, the corridor, and in the elevator, the woman went back into her room and called security right away. What made that woman so suspicious of that
man?
He's
naked.
No.
Oh, I thought I had it.
Went down the corridor and in the elevator.
Oh, wait, no wait. She had never seen this.
Ninja
she had
uniform.
Never seen this man before, correct?
Yeah, she had never
okay,
seen
Okay, she heard
before.
His voice, realized she didn't know him. He was a stranger. She's blind, so of course she never saw him before.
Well, that's a good story, but it's the question, you know, the actual question is what made the woman so suspicious of the man? So just because she's blind, the riddle is in how did she
he
never see
He smelled like
him
grilled
before?
Cheese.
No. Do you want the answer?
Yes.
It's completely yes. obvious.
Okay.
It's, the reason she was so suspicious is that when was the last time you went to your own hotel room and knocked on the door?
Every time. I like to make sure that if there's any rats in there. Well, I go to bad hotels, so I knock and they scurry.
Right. Yes. It's she was suspicious because he knocked on the door and then said it what he thought it was his room, which why would he be knocking on the door of his own room? He would have just popped in the key and opened it up.
True.
Me I too. Right. Yeah. We're definitely not stumped Captain Obvious's here.
No. I stumped you this week. So.
Yep, you did.
Nice. I like that
yeah,
one.
That was
good.
That was a good one. It made me think a little bit when I saw it. So any other news we want to get into this week before we wrap up and get on out of here?
I think that's it.
Jason?
I have nothing, man. I am spent.
Nothing? Well,
put a fork in us. We're
yeah.
done.
Well, I just wanted to remind people we're still working on getting our subscribers up to that over that 100 mark on YouTube. So we have the video I put up of Wonder Woman linked in the show notes here to this show. You can find it at digitalsuitpodcast.com or right in the show notes of the podcast player of your choice, whatever you're listening to us on. And click over there, check out the first impressions, first reaction video to Wonder Woman. And while you're there, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and share it with your friends, everything else. We want to try and just build that up so we can get that custom domain and start doing some other fun things over there on YouTube for
and
you.
And I just
so,
checked, we're currently at 17.
Okay, so we're picking up a little bit slowly at a time, but you know, in a week we've grown a few, so that's good. We have a long ways to go, though, so listeners, we need your help on that one, if you'd be so kind.
Help,
so,
we need subscribers, help.
Well...
if you've got any extra accounts.
I mean, yeah, right. Well, we want people that are actually listening and enjoying it. And we do have some right. plans to start doing some things, adding some content over there on the YouTube channel, just to kind of stuff that maybe wouldn't necessarily fit in the show or stuff that is kind of bonus content we can just put up there with some video work and things like that. So we definitely want to see that grow, as well as just the main show, guys. DigitalSuitPodcast.com is where you can find us. All of our contact information is there. Like I said, you can listen to us anywhere you want, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn. I hear Alexa. You can tell her to pull up the most recent app. Anywhere you want, Overcast, any of the apps, you'll find us there. All the contact information is there. And most importantly, all of our show notes. So as we're talking about all this tech each week, there are links to the articles we're referencing and different things there. So check it out. Share it with just one of your friends or more if you want and help spread the word, build this digital soup community. So for myself, usually Dave, Jason, and Adam, we want to thank you very much for stopping by this week. And we'll see you next week with another all-new episode of the Digital Soup Podcast. Take care, guys.
Adios.
Oh, mamma mia.
It's-a me, I'm Mario.
It's me. I'll see you later.
Speaking of that there, a quick question for you guys here. Is it Mario or is it Mario?
Mario.
I believe it's Mario, Mario. Too, because Nintendo 64, he goes, it's a me, Mario. But, you know, so many people say Mario, and it drives me batty.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mario.
Yeah, it's not
Mario.
All right, DC!
Later, guys.
Bye.
See ya.